I'm Mehmet Ergun. My life and work as a theatre director has taken me from Istanbul to London and back again. For the BBC World Service, this is a tale of two theatres.
He moves between two countries and two languages and two theatres.
Tonight after the show, I'm flying to Istanbul.
He goes London, he comes Turkey, he has a family, he has lots of things to do.
The protests began in Taksim Square, in the center of Istanbul.
They're just setting up the lights for tonight's show, which is Taksim Square, about the protests in Gezi Park that took place last summer in Istanbul.
And first time when I read the text, I asked him, "Are you sure?" Because I don't want my artistic director at jail. And he said, "That's okay, we should do it."
You can't run a theater and talk about things that doesn't concern the society you're living in. So I do it anyway. And we wait, see what happens. Come and take me.
I'm Susanna Clapp, and I've been the theatre critic of The Observer since 1997. I think of the Arcola and Mehmet as being an item. I think of him being the engine within this machine.
My name's Tom Morris. I'm the artistic director of the Bristol Old Vic. His gift to London Theatre is extraordinary, not only in terms of the people he's directly helped and enabled, but also in the example that he's set, that if you apply yourself with passion and invention, you can make extraordinary things happen in the arts, and that's just what he's always done and is continuing to do.
The Arcola Theatre started in 2000-2001. It started poor. I mean, we didn't even have seats. There were dress cutting tables from the old factory. We just cut their legs and make them into rostras. Any lights we had, including candles, bulbs, I thought if audience came in, that would pay the rent. So that's how it started.
I don't remember how I first heard about it. There wasn't a big flurry of press releases. I didn't read things about it in newspapers, but somehow I was there. What was so surprising was that being there was being in East London. There were no theatres in Dalston. It was a completely surprising location for a theatre.
Dalston was an area that you wouldn't want to go in the past. In fact, we have a wonderful review from Charles Spencer who says, "I hate going to the Arcola. I hate the area. It's so scary. It's pound shops everywhere." So it started like that. It was a tough first 10 years that everyone found it difficult to come here, with the flying objects in the air and shootings and prostitutes outside our door ripping the posters, and nobody liked it.
You walked along the long Kingsland Road, where there's no tube, went into a side street, and then suddenly there was this barely marked small door. You stepped into it, and there you were, a great hub of activity. It was the theatrical equivalent of discovering a secret garden.
Welcome to the Arcola. We need a new door. This is terrible. We had some money from the Arts Council, and the last 10% was supposed to go for the foyer to be doing this up beautifully, and they didn't pay that, so we have a crap door.
It's important that the Arcola was an industrial space. It was an old clothing factory. So it had that provisional, on the back foot, jumping off, not settled feel, which the best theatre should have.
Well, I'm at the entrance into the auditorium. So it's quite a sort of distressed-looking place. There are windows that are filled in. But we didn't fill them, like, nicely. So it shows the infrastructure as it is. We don't hide anything. That's its aesthetic, I guess. Okay, so this takes us to another door. And then... who's that in the dark there? I can't see. Who are you?
My name is Jim Bywater, and I'm playing Caramanchel in Don Gil of the Green Breeches. I like this rough and ready feel. It's almost like when you're doing the play, you're still rehearsing. And people, I think people also don't feel intimidated when they come to watch a play. You don't feel like you have to be precious. And I think it affects the work.
My name is Cecil Honeywell. I know Mehmet for more than 10 years now, I think. He moves between two countries and two languages and two theatres so easily that you don't even realize that. Like, if you're here, you think that Mehmet is always here. If you're in Istanbul, in Talimhane, you think that, he's always there. Because he's always working in Istanbul and London constantly, he's everywhere, you know. I have got this high suspicion that he might have a twin brother or something, because he's got this ability to be in both places at the same time. Like, you can see him here in the morning and then he's there back in the evening.
So yes, the other half of my life is spent at Arkola's sister theatre, Talimhane in Istanbul. It is fair to say that they are twin sisters, but they are most certainly not identical twins.
So, Talimhane is in the centre of Şişli area of Istanbul. Şişli is a very old borough. It had the largest population of Jewish, Armenian and Greek population. Therefore, there's a good tradition of theatre and opera in this area as well, because non-Muslims were always interested in the arts more than the Muslims. So it's a very interesting area.
I'm Larzan Pamir. I'm a producer of Talimhane. My dream was coming to Istanbul and meeting with Mehmet. And then I came to Istanbul, then I found him, and finally I'm working with him. He goes London, he comes Turkey, he has a family, he has lots of things to do, but he's always energetic and makes you powerful. And he always says, do it now, don't wait for the best opportunities.
In this building, where Talimhane Theatre is, used to be a shopping centre. Now many, not derelict, but empty shops. So we started using them as rehearsal rooms, and gradually a number of the rehearsal rooms turned into studio theatres. So at the moment we're in this sort of strange place that many, many empty shops, and whatever's full is either a theatre or a sort of little concert rehearsal space.
I'm Serdar Biliş, and I'm a theatre director, and I've been working in Turkey for the last few years. I think Mehmet is an encourager, if that's a word, I don't know, but he does encourage people to create their own path. If you want to do a play, and if no one is giving you any jobs at the state theatre or the municipal theatre, why not just set up a small company and go into a sort of small room and do it? So I think he gives people that self-confidence. You know, he always says, how do you know? Give it a try.
I've never been particular about feeling at home. If I'm in London, I never think of, like, you know, I need to drink my tea black and has to have a little glass or something. I never behaved like that. On the same day, I get a mug and put a milk in it and then drink my tea. And when I'm in Istanbul, if the tea is served in a small glass and they put a sugar in it, I have that as well. I've always been in dark rooms rehearsing plays, creating other worlds rather than enjoying the world of that city. What a life.
From here I see Duncan. If he is where his double says he should be, but if I have him in my sight 1,000 times, it seems to me he bears a false identity.
Of course, with the two theatres come at least two plays. At the Arkola, Don Gil of the Green Breeches, a Spanish Golden Age farce, all about mistaken identity and cross-dressing.
I'm Hedith Dalan, and I'm playing Doña Juana. And I guess the play is her story. She's trying to get her man back, and obviously the best way of doing that in 16th century Spain is by dressing up like a man and wreaking havoc.
Here in Spain, a person can be flogged for less. What do they call you? Man, woman, hermaphrodite?
I regularly go back and forth between the UK and Turkey, not only when I'm recording for the BBC World Service. And in Istanbul, a very different type of production. They're just setting up the lights for tonight's show, which is Taksim Square, the new play with music that I wrote about the protests in Gezi Park that took place last summer in Istanbul. This very bold attack on supporters of the government in the past 10 years It includes religious leaders, it includes the press and media, it includes university professors, artists, most of all. They all side with the power. So I wanted to put them in a prison. And through flashbacks, they show they prostitute themselves in some way or other. So it was very harsh. But the dialogue is very funny, and the songs are great fun. So I turned it into a musical. But obviously, it's a massive attack to the government.
This will be the interval. Any excuse for it.
The relationship between artists and politicians in Turkey has been increasingly strained since 2011, when the Prime Minister's daughter walked out of a state theatre performance claiming an actor had mocked her for wearing a headscarf. This led the culture minister at the time to call into question the funding of state theatre. The row erupted again in 2012 when a play itself came under fire. Here reported on BBC World Service.
And there was a scene where there were some assassins who are portrayed as perverts, and there was a brief scene of nudity. And that really upset the mayor of the city, who belongs to the ruling AK party. And he decreed that from now on we will decide what is performed in state theatres.
The Prime Minister was in agreement. He made a public statement in May 2012 about state-subsidized artists.
Mesele kendilerine küçük iktidar alanları oluşturmuş.
This is a case of an elite looking down on their own people by creating their own zones of power and profit. They're elitists, they're zealots. They won't let anyone else in on their own caste systems. These people stand outside bars with a whiskey glass in their hand and look down on people. They just insult the people without producing anything with their air of superiority.
2013 then saw political tensions spread beyond Turkey's stages to its parks and streets.
The protests began in Taksim Square in the center of Istanbul. The police used tear gas and water cannon to get rid of environmental campaigners.
The fallout from Taksim Square meant that not only state but also private theaters receiving government subsidy were drawn into the culture war. Professor Dick Bengurun is the former director of the Istanbul Theatre Festival.
2013 was a trying year for theatre scene in Turkey. Politics heavily shadowed art. The Minister of Culture did not give support to some of the private theatres simply because most of those theatres were beside Gezi Park events. It was a sort of a punishment.
My theater, Talimane, a private theater, was one of those punished.
Talimane Tiyatrosu.
Taksim Square that I wrote after the uprising in Istanbul last year cost us losing the funds from the Ministry of Culture. They're not funding us anymore, which is fine. In Istanbul, state subsidy is great if you have it. If you don't have it, you have a box office. If your box office is not good, if you can't survive, you close. I'm happy with that. I've always been happy about that. And we live by our success.
We're going downstairs to the main house now.
Taksim Square doesn't really have a set. It has four paintings that we commissioned, police vehicles and masked protesters and a man wearing a gas mask and a sign of anarchists.
I'm Kubilay, I play at Taksim Square Play, and the character's name is Imam, and we are now in the smoking room in the backstage. There is 20 minutes to the play and we are having Turkish desserts, delicious desserts. It's a tradition.
My name is Gökçen, Gökçe Bağ. I am an actor. This play could never be performed, not in a thousand years, in state theater. No way. You could do Brecht, Dario Fo, but this kind of direct addressing the government is very rare. Theater could face some lawsuits, but I don't think we'll be arrested or anything. Actors are fine. It's Mehmet's problem here. I think it's brave, and he's not going to get paid. I don't think the government will ever help his theater. It's gone. That money just flew away.
I'm not doing anything in particular to avoid any troubles. I'm just doing plays that says what it says, in the most artistic and, if necessary, most agitating way. It doesn't scare me. I feel more responsible for the people who work with me. Obviously, they have a choice to work in those plays or not. If they want to portray a corrupt religious leader in a play that I wrote, then they come and do that. If they say, I don't want to play this, I respect that as well. But I have nothing to lose. I feel like I just have to do that.
I was at Gezi Park with Mehmet and with our actors. All our company was there. Lots of lines are real. What Mehmet wrote was what we lived there.
I was in Taksim Square during the protest. I was one of the first people to open the barricades. I was gassed. Lovely gas. I was gassed.
I think other directors at Turkey would do something about Taksim. The difference is Mehmet did it first. And first time when I read the text, I got shocked and I asked him, are you sure? Because I don't want my artistic director at jail. And he said, that's okay, let's do it, we should do it. And when I said to him, this is really brave, this can be dangerous for you. And he said, why? They did this, so I wrote. I agree with him. Yes, we should do this. If we don't tell people what's going on, then we should finish.
I'm 18 years old and I live in Adana, not Istanbul. I was at the protest in Adana. These protests in Turkey, you know, all the world saw it. And we lost our friends. Yeah, you know, so this play was the summary of it, I believe, and it was really great because so many people still don't know about it in Turkey. Just we lived it, so we know it, and this play is so important for it, I believe.
It was quite moving because of all the people we have lost during these protests. I think it's really brave to openly say the things that most of the people say about these protests. I'm quite surprised that these people had this going on for quite some time now, and I wish them the best of luck.
My show Taksim Square has been running in Istanbul since August last year. I'm intending to keep it in the repertoire, depending on how the country shapes up. In London at the Arcola, Don Hill of the Green Breeches is about to open. It's press night. This is the backstage area of Studio One, the main house.
Hey, gents, that's your quarter alcohol.
Thank you.
On my right is the gents' dressing room. They're all dressed up and ready for the show.
Hello, wonderful people. Just yeah. The same thing, better. Same thing.
Same thing, better.
Same thing, better.
He has a style of directing that I get on with. He likes to have fun, to have that gang feeling with a team. And we're enjoying it and we trust each other. Everybody trusts each other.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Studio One's now open. If you'd like to take your seats, please.
What about the rest of the seats,
there are some that say reserved for press.
Press night does add a certain frisson because you know it's make or break, but if you treat it more like a good full house that really want you to win, then you're laughing.
Now that we can see Madrid on the bridge known as Segovia.
My name is Chris Andrew Mellon, and in Don Hill of the Green Bridges, I'm playing Quintana.
The orchards of Valladolid.
Here we are completely surrounded by the audience, so there's an element of it being very immediate. and a sense that we're in our asides that we do a lot of, they are to a specific audience member. I mean, they become part of the performance, more so than in a proscenium theatre.
Honestly, you couldn't make it up.
Hi, Mariana. We love it here because it's spontaneous. The whole atmosphere is not too formal. I can relax and actually feel part of it, perhaps closer to the whole experience.
Tonight after the show, I'm heading to Luton Airport. I have a really early flight, like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm flying to Istanbul.
The first time around, opening to Alemanni was very difficult. 4 years of being closed by the local government 7 times, not getting a license, and they basically just wanted to be controlling us so that nothing they don't like would happen. That's why I chose Taksim Square. And also, currently in rep, I have 2 musicals. The Broadway musical is always full, and Taksim Square sort of created some fear amongst the audiences so that it's always half full. People don't come. It's more to do with the country, and the songs are more Turkish as well. It should be a lot more popular, but politically people just shy away from it.
I am Emre Koyuncuoğlu. I am Turkish. I'm an official municipal theatre director.
Emre Koyuncuoğlu works in privately run theatres, but she also works in state-run municipal venues. She says that she has noticed a different atmosphere there over recent years.
Well, it is said to be that I can direct anything. But now, since 2 years, because there's big changes of the artistic directory and everything, government changed many things. Now it seems that we are proposing things. But then there's a kind of, I don't know, misunderstanding. It's like we're kind of waiting, you know, waiting to do things in the municipal theatre.
Despite this sense of waiting, Emre still feels she has artistic freedom as a director.
If you don't have freedom, you cannot do theatre at the end. I am one person as a director who go to the limits, and I will say to you, never I had anything in my life who said to me that I cannot do this. I did everything. But I took also risk. The censorship is always in the mind. I did whatever I thought in the municipal theater. This is very important. In Turkey, if you are really from the heart, you can do everything. I mean, there's no censorship.
Censorship in Turkey, in subsidized theaters, is a reality. That's for sure.
Serdar Biliş, one of Turkey's leading theater directors.
More than often, it's not what it actually talks about the play, but more than often what they see, you know, the image. It's more to do with the female body. That's why we've left with almost no dance culture in Istanbul now. I did a show in one of these municipal theatres, and the council people were a bit irritated because of a miniskirt. What's scary is, like, you become agents of this sort of mentality by just kind of giving in. The insidious thing is that they don't talk these things openly. They don't tell you that we don't like this play because you have a miniskirt, or you have your actors drinking gin and tonic. They don't say this openly. They just sort of quietly don't program the play, because we have repertory systems, you know what I mean? So then suddenly you look at the program and that play's not on, so what's going on?
You can't run a theatre and talk about things that doesn't concern the society you're living in. So I do it anyway. And yeah, I guess it sort of concerns me, but it doesn't scare me. I have nothing to lose. I feel like I just have to do that, and we wait to see what happens. Come and take me. I've got 3 big windows that look at Dawson Junction. On the window sills, I have objects like old model boxes. It's like a good friend of mine, a playwright, said a character is a total of what he or she has done before. So maybe there's a reason that there's a little stork there, and an old telephone, and some Chinese ducks from a pound shop, and For Turkey, I'm not very optimistic about state funding for theatre. In the past, there's been an automatic funding for state theatres, opera, ballet, orchestras, but now the government is stopping this and they're setting up an arts council-like funding body which will not be independent and all its members will be members of the Ministry of Culture. But theatre always survives. There's been, you know, the last 5 years we had the biggest boom in Istanbul. We have nearly 100 plays every night. It's unstoppable. We just don't know what to see. There's so many plays. It's a bit like, you know, Brecht on the run. He wrote his best plays. You need to have some trouble so that you can come out of it. Funding-wise, I'm not hopeful, but for good work, I think there's always space.
I look at this library sometimes and I sort of see how I love Brecht and I sort of piled volumes of it at the top there. Have I done enough Brecht? Probably not. 2,500 years of literature from Sophocles to, you know, Sarah Kane. I know all these plays. Now the question is which ones I should do next.
A Tale of Two Theatres was a Whistledown production for the BBC World Service. I am Mehmet Ergun, and the producer was Kirsty McGuire.